On Friday afternoon, I went to a coffee shop in my neighborhood, which is pretty typical for a Friday to wrap up my sermon. This was a little bit different, though, because typically when I get there, there's just a little bit more work to do. This Friday, I showed up, and in order to wrap up my sermon, I was also going to need to begin my sermon prep. It's a little bit different. And as I'm sitting there beginning to work on my sermon, a woman walked in, and she began talking with the woman at the counter. And she shared that she was supposed to go to Costa Rica next week, but she's not going to go to Costa Rica now because of the coronavirus. Okay. Then some friends from the neighborhood come in, and we start talking about some mutual friends who are supposed to leave that day for Israel. But they didn't go to Israel. Their flight got canceled because of the coronavirus. That's right, because of the coronavirus. Between sermon prep, I was working on some emails, and there were lots of emails about how our church was going to respond both to our staff and to the congregation about, you know, the coronavirus. And then Paul, our senior pastor, called, and he said, hey, I just need to let you know, I'm going to shift gears on Sunday morning, and I'm not going to start the series. It's called Four. That's what we're going to start this week. But instead, I'm going to talk about the coronavirus, okay? So I thought, well, I'm not too far along, so maybe I should consider that. And then I remembered that earlier in the week, during my devotional time, I'd been reading letters from prison, but I'm also reading through Matthew, and I had read the end of Matthew 6 just a couple of days before, and you'll never believe this. At the end of Matthew 6, Jesus talks about the coronavirus. Not explicitly, but indirectly, okay? At the end of Matthew 6, Jesus talks about worry. He talks about what to do when you're afraid, what to do when you're worried. So if you're here this morning, or more likely if you're sitting at home online, and what you're worried about is the coronavirus, then this morning, guess what we're talking about? The coronavirus, okay? Now, if you're here this morning, and what you're worried about is something else, that's what we're talking about this morning. We're talking about the grandchild or the son or the daughter or the grandparents that's sick. We're talking about that. If you're here this morning and what you're worried about are your finances, we're talking about your finances this morning. If you're worried about our political climate, we're talking about the political climate this morning. This morning, we're talking about whatever it is that you are worried about. So here's all that I need from you in order for us to get started. I need you to bring to the forefront of your mind whatever that is. For some of you, it's already right there. For some of you, you have buried it down deep. Dig it up. Whatever it is that you're worried about, that you're concerned about, maybe even something that you're scared about, bring that to the forefront of your mind, and we're going to hit that deal head on this morning. Let me pray for us, and then we're going to get started. God, thank you for this time that we have together. I pray that you, by the power of your Holy Spirit, will be with us. Just as you have been with us, as we have sung together, and as we have heard music, as we've prayed together, be with us now as we look at a pretty bold statement that Jesus makes about worry. Open our minds. Help us to come towards us with open hearts. And Lord, do something surprising this morning. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts, God, we pray that they will be pleasing to you, O Lord. You are our rock and you're our Redeemer. We pray these things in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. One day Jesus is sitting on a hillside, and he's looking eye to eye with some people that are there. And while he's talking to them, behind them in the distance, he can see the whole rim of the Sea of Galilee with all kinds of towns around it. And he preaches what is now recorded as his first sermon. It's the first recorded sermon that we have. And partway through that sermon, we call it the Sermon on the Mount, he says this: "So, don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring troubles of its own. Today's trouble is enough for today. He looks at those men and those women, and with full conviction, he says to them, don't worry. Now, how can he say that to people and mean it? I mean, is he saying to people, don't worry because there's nothing to worry about? Or is he saying to people, don't worry because you're going to be able to handle whatever comes along? Is he just oblivious to the realities of the world? Or is he speaking in metaphor? Is this some kind of hyperbole? How can he sit there with full conviction and say, don't worry? Is it many of us who have been around the church for a while, we've heard this kind of thing. And yet we find this to be one of Jesus' commandments that it's really hard to live into. Some of the other ones we're doing pretty well with. But this is pretty hard. Don't worry about tomorrow. Okay, if we want to know how he can say that with full conviction, how he can look people in the eyes and say that and mean it, we've got to back up just a little bit. So what we're going to do is we're going to look at a few things that lead up to that really bold statement. As Aaron said, it's not in your bulletins, okay? But you've got pew Bibles that are in front of you. They're blue Bibles. Pull those out. We're in Matthew 6, beginning in verse 25. You're gonna want to see this. Now, you can hear it, but you're probably going to want to see this also. This is part of Jesus' teaching on the Sermon on the Mount, in the Sermon on the Mount. This is what he says. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you'll wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Is there not more to this life than what is happening physically? Okay? He just poses that question right there at the beginning. He starts with that bombshell. Don't worry about your life. Isn't your life about more than what's happening physically? And then he goes on to paint a picture. And here's what I want you thinking about as I read this and as you read it also. Here's what I want us thinking about. Again, with your worry, with your concern in the front of your mind. Think about this. What's the picture that Jesus is painting? What's the picture that he's painting of the world? He's on this hillside. He's looking down at the Sea of Galilee. And as he's talking to these men and these women, what's he trying to tell them about the way the world works? Look at the birds. There are birds around, okay? Within eyesight. Look at maybe one flew by. Look at that bird. Look at the birds of the air. You ever notice this about birds? They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns. Have you ever noticed that? They go around and they eat, but these birds in particular, they don't stockpile food. Have you ever noticed that? And yet, your heavenly Father feeds them. So the God that created you and the God that created that bird, that God takes care of these birds. And then another question. Are you not of more value than they? It's almost comical. I mean, see that bird? See how God takes care of that bird? I mean, do you not realize that you are of more value than that bird? Which, of course, would have made perfect sense to them. Of course, you're of more value. Humans are of more value than the birds. And why is that? Well, because birds are physical beings that are just purely physical. Well, here's what everybody listening to Jesus would have known that you know, but that we often forget. Humans are not just physical. We're not just made of dust and dirt and all of those, that stuff. But we're also what? We're also spiritual beings. Sure, the biology and the chemistry and the physics, they explain a lot of us, but there's more to us than just our biology. Look at the bird. Do you not know that you, who are created in the image of God, physical and spiritual, do you not know That you're more important than the bird? And can you, by any worry, add a single hour to the span of your life? So basically, I said, how's this working for you? I mean, going around being all stressed out, being worried, how's that working for you? It's actually doing the opposite, right? How's that working for you? So what kind of picture is he painting of the world? And then he says, and why do you worry about clothing? And again, look around you, people. A gathering like this, only they're outside. Look around you. Pretend like the walls aren't there. Consider the lilies of the field. Think about the flowers, friends. How they grow. They neither toil nor spin. They don't create clothing for themselves. And yet, I tell you, even Solomon, the great Old Testament king, more wealthy than any of the others, even Solomon in all his glory was not clothed like one of these. There's a great song that puts this to music by a guy named John Foreman. It's a great song. And what he says is, look at all the flowers. They're better dressed than any girl on her wedding day. I love that. I did a wedding in here last night. Look, no matter what we put on, look at the flowers. And they're more beautiful than anything that we can come up with. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, and look at what happens to grass, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven. It's just grass. I mean, it's not even birds. It's just grass. Will he not so much more clothe you? You of little faith. What picture is he painting of the world? I mean, as he sits there on the side of this hill, with the people around and the birds and the lilies and the grasses and all the villages around the Sea of Galilee, what is Jesus saying about the world? He's saying something that's surprising that we so often miss. He's saying to these men and women something that we desperately need to hear today, that is so hard for us to believe and is going to push against so much of the preconceived notions that you have. He says, friends, look at the birds, look at the lilies. The world is a perfectly safe place for you as a human. It's a perfectly safe place for you to live. And if you're anything like me, you immediately push back against that and say, Jesus, no, it is not. I mean, I have watched people die in this world. And I have watched people go bankrupt in this world. This is not a safe place for us, and yet he stubbornly insists it is. And in fact, you don't need to worry. Which leaves you thinking, okay, were things a lot different 2,000 years ago halfway across the world? I mean, they didn't have coronavirus. To which I think Jesus would say, I will take your coronavirus, and I will take your Ebola and your bird flu, and all of the others, and I will raise you leprosy, okay? I'm talking about like one day your fingers falling off disease. I'm talking about today, as soon as you show signs, kicked out of the community and living in isolation. Leprosy. He says, look, I'll take your mass shootings and your terrorism, which are terrible, and I will raise you the Roman Empire. Everybody he's talking to, and everybody who lives in those towns around the Sea of Galilee that he can see, every one of them lives under the thumb of the Roman Empire. The Roman soldiers, the Roman citizens, and the Jewish people. They all live under the thumb of the Roman Empire, which we won't go into the details of, but is more terrible than anything that any of us can imagine living underneath. Crucified people at will. He's not speaking to people who have nothing to worry about. He's speaking to people who have troubles that are more severe than most of us will ever encounter. And he says to them with full conviction, don't worry. Jesus is a real person talking to real people about real problems, and he really says, don't worry. How could he say that? How could he feel like this is a world that is perfectly safe for human beings to live in? Because everything about the world tells us that it's not. But then he doubles down. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what will we eat and what will we drink and what will we wear? For it is the Gentiles, that's the people who don't know the Heavenly Father that I'm talking about. It's the Gentiles who strive for all of these things. It's the Gentiles who worry about all of that. And indeed, here's the thing, your Heavenly Father knows that you need these things. Do you know that? He knows that you need these things. But he says, this is what you do in response, and this is the kicker. Strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Do you see this? Did you see what Jesus is doing here? He says, strive first for these spiritual things. Strive first for the kingdom of God and for righteousness. Strive first for these things. And all these things will be added to you. That doesn't mean that you get everything that you want, but it means that you can trust God with the rest. You see, here's what he's doing, and Jesus is so brilliant. And many of us have read that passage a million times, and yet it's easy to miss this. Jesus is so brilliant. Do you see what he's saying? He's saying, look, friends, if your thing, remember, seek first the kingdom of God, if your thing is something that is physical in this world, if your thing, if what your identity is rooted in, and what your purpose is rooted in, if what your hope is rooted in, is something in this world, then guess what? You live in a really dangerous world. If what your identity is rooted in, if what your hope is rooted in, if what your purpose is rooted in is financial security, you have every reason to be terrified. You have every reason to be worried. Because all of that can go away in an instant. If your hope is in your finances, then you should be worried about the coronavirus. Wake up, you should be. If your hope is in your physical well-being, your hope is in living to be 100, if that is your hope and you're terrified of death, then you live in a very dangerous world that is not safe for you. Because in any moment, it just takes a moment for all of that to change. If that's your thing, you should be terrified. This is the one that really pushes against me, okay? Especially as a father and as a husband. This is the one that pushes against me. But it's the thing. If your hope is in the physical well-being of the people that you love, you live in a dangerous world. Because every single one of us could have lost someone that we love and not even know about it yet. If that is what your hope and your identity and your purpose is rooted in, then you live in a dangerous world. But what Jesus knows is that you are not just a physical being, but you are a spiritual being. That you are connected not just to the physical world, but that you are connected to the spiritual world that is all around you. And that spiritual world can give you a hope and a purpose and a security that goes beyond anything that this world has to offer. And here's the kicker. That spiritual world goes on past this one. Meaning that you may not be physically well in this life, but you will be in the next. And you may lose people, you will lose people in this life, but they go on in the next. This world is perfectly safe for us to live in, not because nothing bad will happen physically, but because God's presence is all around us. Jesus says, there will be troubles in this world, but don't worry, I have overcome the world. Things will be bad for a bit, but things will be right in the end. Jesus can say to you with full conviction, do not worry, because Jesus knows in that moment what we know but we often forget, and that is the presence of his Father, who is the shepherd, is around us all the time. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, right? We think of the earth as now and the heavens as one day, but what Jesus recognized is that the heavens and the earth were both around him all the time. That he lived in Jesus in the physical world, but that God's presence was all around him. The heavens was not some place you go when you die. The heaven was a spiritual world that was all around you. Take your hands. Take your hands. I can see you. Take your hands. Move them around. Do you feel the wind? Between your fingers? That's where the Father lives, okay? Those are the heavens. That's where the Spirit resides. So close to you that he's between you and the person next to you. So close to you that he's between your fingers. You see, Jesus can look at people and say, don't worry, because he knows with full conviction that God is not far off, but that his Father is right here. And we know today that by the power of the Holy Spirit, that Spirit, God's presence, that Jesus is right around us, that he is with us, and that he cares more about you than the birds, that he cares more about you than the lilies, that he is right here. And as the choir reminded us, that he is our shepherd. Which means that even the worst that the physical world has to offer is something that God will lead you up to and will lead you through. It does not mean that the worst will not befall you. It might. But it means that even as the worst befalls you physically, that God remains with you. So super practically, what do we do? Okay. Oftentimes when we have worry or we have fear, it causes us to panic. It causes us to figure out how to fix this, how to get out of this on our own. But for those of us who believe that God really is our shepherd, that he really is with us, worry is not a cause for panic. Worry is a cause for us to pause. To pause. And to say, where is this fear coming from? And to ask ourselves, am I rooted in the reality of God's presence? Like Jesus was. As I approach this, what I feel like could be a tragedy, as I fear this thing that is coming, pause. Am I rooted in the reality of God's presence? Do I really believe that he is right here with me? Because if I do, then it does not mean that what I'm about to go through will not be difficult. But it does mean that I can make it through it. Not on my own, but because he's my shepherd. So with whatever you're worried about, corona or anything else, the advice that I often give to people is to take a piece of paper and to make two columns. One column is the column of all the things that are in your control. Washing your hands and not passing offering baskets and all those things. For whatever it is, you know, what's in your control. And the other column is all the stuff that's out of your control. Whether the coronavirus ends up in Dallas, and whether it ends up at your kid's school, all that stuff, out of your control. The in your control column, do you know what that is? That's your to-do list. So get out there and don't pray that God will cleanse your hands. Wash your hands. And you know what the other column is? That's your prayer list. And I spent a lot of my life trying to do things that I have no control over and not doing the things and praying about the things that I do. Jesus says, don't worry, but get out there and do what you can. And trust the Father with the rest. And just know that no matter what happens, the Lord is your shepherd and he is right here. And he'll see you to it. And he's going to see you through it. I believe that's true not just because Jesus taught it, But I believe it's true because I have seen it to be true in my life and in the lives of some people that I'm looking at right now. He's led you through things that you would have never thought that you could make it through. And in fact, you couldn't have if the Lord wasn't your shepherd. But he is. So don't worry. When you get there, he's going to be there too. God, thank you for this time that we've had together. Lord, anything that's coming, you're already there. You get us ready for things, and you lead us through things. Lord Jesus can look us in the eyes and tell us not to worry. Not because he knows that we can make it, but because he has full confidence that you can carry us through. Lord, help us to have the faith in you that Jesus has. A faith to not worry, because you're with us. God, we love you. Help us to live into this truth and help us to share this truth. In a world that is so racked with fear, help us to be people of great faith. We love you, and we know that you love us. And we pray these things in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.